This house is a war zone, fretted mother. The fussing, the fighting, the arguing, the quarreling. Oh, for some peace and quiet. Can any young mothers identify with that? I've just returned from the mall, sighs Dad. The pushing, the shoving, the frantic frenzy of last-minute shopping is enough to drive me crazy. I called ahead to Best Buy. They said they had three of those video games that Johnny wanted left. I got there. The guy in front of me bought the last one. And then on the way home, traffic was gnarled, bumper to bumper. And in the spirit of the holidays, some jerk, a guy or maybe a lady, cut right in front of me, almost ran me off the road. Where's the Tylenol? In comes Johnny. I hate Scott. He's such a wimp. He took my football and I let him have it in the mouth. His mother came out and yelled at me for hitting her little baby boy. I hate this neighborhood. Maybe we can move. Just then the phone rings. It's Scott's mom. Dad answers the phone. It's for you, honey. Hands the phone to his wife and sits down to watch the nightly news. The first segment shows an irate newspaper man in Iraq throwing his shoes at the President of the United States, yelling, "This is a farewell kiss, you dog, dog!" The next segment comes up, shows hundreds of Muslims parading down the street with shoes on poles and signs saying, "We hate the U.S. We hate Bush," and burning flags. The next segment comes up and shows a report from Afghanistan. Another IED has gone off. Three U.S. Servicemen are killed. The next segment comes up and it shows a segment from India. The report is they didn't get all the terrorists from the recent terrorist attack, and they are asking the question, will they strike again? And folks, that's all in the first 10 minutes of the news. And when you think about something like this, you might ask, is there any peace on earth? Where in the world can you find peace? Someone has estimated that only 8% of the time since the beginning of recorded history has the world been entirely at peace. Over the last 3,100 years, only 286 have been warless. And in that time period, over 8,000 treaties have been broken. Dr. Robert Oppenheimer, who supervised the creation of the first atomic bomb, appeared before a congressional committee. And they asked him, "Dr. Oppenheimer, is there any defense against the bomb?" And he looked over the congressional committee and he said, "Certainly." And then he paused and he looked. He said, "Certainly, there is a defense, peace." But where can you find peace on earth? Where can you find peace in a world that's torn apart by strife? Well, I want you to take your Bibles today. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. In this world that lacks peace, 2,000 years ago, a baby was born. And the prophet Isaiah foretold his coming. 700 years before he was born, Isaiah wrote Isaiah 9, 6. And by this time, over the last few weeks we've been looking, we know what it says. He wrote, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be on his shoulder. And help me with this. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And we've been taking a look at these names. And what we've noted as we've looked at these names, every one of these names tells us something about Jesus. And it also tells us something about a blessing that he shares with us. Every name that he bears shows a blessing that he shares. And we've taken a look at these first names. You remember his name is Wonderful. And we said, I'll tell you what, Jesus is wonderful. He's a wonderful Savior. Wherever he went, people were full of wonder. We said that his life is, he is the answer to the dullness of life. Wherever Jesus was, there was never a dull moment. You never have to get bored with Jesus around. His name is Wonderful. We took a look at his name, the second name. His name is Counselor. And we said, Jesus Christ is the best counselor you could ever want to have. He is the supreme counselor because Jesus has all wisdom and all knowledge. He knows everything. He knows the best solution to all our problems. He knows the best course of action we should take. He's all knowledgeable and all wise. And he's all compassionate and kind. He's a kind counselor, and he cares about us. Not only that, but he is all loving, and he always tells you the truth. Even when it hurts, he doesn't hold back the truth from us. He tells us what we need to know, but he does it in love. And he's understanding and empathetic, and he's always available. The doctor's never out. Dr. Jesus is never out. He's always there to give us counsel. And he uses the best counseling book in the world. What is that? The Bible. Thy testimonies are my delight and are my counselors. Folks, he's wonderful. He's counselor. And then last week we took a look and saw that he's mighty God. He's mighty God. He is with Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he is everlasting Father. And we said last week that everlasting Father could mean that he has those fatherly characteristics, that he takes care of us and he provides for us and he protects us. But I think it means more than that. I believe that it means that he is the Father of eternal life. He is the originator. He is the author of everlasting life. Whereas wonderful is, that is the, he is the answer to the dullness of life. Counselor, he is the answer to the decisions of life. Mighty God, he is the answer to the demands of life. Eternal Father or everlasting Father, he is the answer to the spiritual dimension of life. Today we reach Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And into this war-torn, frantic world, Christ came to bring peace, to bring peace on earth. Now today, this morning, what I'd like to do, it's only through Jesus. See, peace is in a person. It's in a person. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to do this morning is to look at Jesus and look at the four aspects of the peace that Jesus Christ came to bring for us. And the first, and I think the most important, if you're taking notes on that little sheet in your bulletin, the first aspect of peace Jesus came to bring, he came to bring peace with God. Peace with God. Why do we need peace with God? Ever since the first man and the first woman sinned, rebelled against God, there has been a problem between God and man, and that's the problem of sin. And what sin does, it causes enmity, it causes hostility, it causes a separation between a holy God and sinful man. There's a separation. There's a hostility. There is a a problem between God and man that is caused by sin. And every one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way. We have all sinned. And because of sin, there's death. The wages of sin is death. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all have sin. We're all in the same boat. And sin causes enmity or war between us and God. And what Jesus came to do is Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came down from heaven to make peace between man and God, sinful man and a holy God. He lived, he came down, that baby that was born came down to this earth and lived a sinless life. And then he let people nail him to the cross. And what he was doing, and we know this, he was dying for our sin. But listen to how Isaiah put it. And this just really hit me as I studied this. He said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Listen to the next line. What is it? The chastisement of our peace was on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That baby that was born and laid in a manger would grow up to let himself be put on a cross. And he took the chastisement of our peace. He took the punishment so that he could make peace between us and God. Now this is something. Colossians 1:20 says, how do we get peace with God? We have peace through the blood of the cross. Through the blood of the cross. You see, without the cross, there wouldn't be no peace with God. There would be total separation from God, total enmity between man and God. But Christ came to bring peace. Back on January 30th, 1973, a man by the name of Patrice Tamao of Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, allowed himself to be nailed to a cross as a sacrifice for world peace and understanding among men. As thousands watched on TV, 6-inch stainless steel nails were driven through his hands and feet. Tamao had planned to remain on that cross for 48 hours, but after 20 hours, it had to be cut short, his voluntary crucifixion, because he developed an infection in the right foot. One newspaper article speaking about this event had its heading. Listen to this. Crucifixion for peace falls short. I'll tell you what, folks. Jesus' crucifixion for peace didn't fall short. When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished, paid in full." He took all of our judgment, all of our judgment upon himself. And I'll tell you what, if he didn't, you'd be here today and you'd be at war with God, and God would be at war with us. But he did it so we could have peace with God. But you know what? It's not enough to just know that. It's not enough to just know that. This peace must be received by trusting Christ as our Savior, by receiving him, having faith that what he did on that cross, he did for you. He did for me. Receiving him by faith. And you know what God does when we do, when we reach out and ask Christ, Christ, I realize I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. God's, and this is, how does he do this? He takes my sin and he places it on Christ at the cross. And he takes Christ's righteousness and he puts it in me and in you. And then he says this, righteous. That's called justification. Listen to Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'll tell you what, folks, it pays to have peace with certain people. It pays to have peace with the woman who's cooking your dinner. But I'll tell you what, it pays to have peace with the God who one day you're going to stand before, and I'm going to stand before and give an account. I'm so glad I have peace with him. You see, there's nothing between me and God anymore. Christ has taken it out of the way through the blood of his cross. Praise God. Do you have peace with God? Have you accepted Christ? I'm not just talking about praying a prayer. Are you trusting him for your salvation? Have you trusted him to come into your life? He came. He's the Prince of Peace. His name is Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom! Prince of Peace. Do you have peace with God? I'll tell you what, if you don't have peace with God, what you need to do today, I'll tell you, and this is a great day to do it. Christmas Sunday. You need to accept Christ. You need to turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you will, I'll tell you what he did on the cross. He made a peace treaty with God, and he signed it in the indelible ink of his blood. Amen. And you need to ratify that today in your own life. Accept Christ. Peace with God. That's the most important peace. But then he came also, folks, to bring peace, the peace, not just peace with God, but the peace of God. The peace of God. And what is that? The peace of God is not the same as peace with God. It's not the same. The peace with God has to do with our standing with God. The peace of God is our subjective experience of that relationship. It is the peace of God is the inner peace, the contentment that we can have in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a subjective experience, a calmness of spirit, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of war. This is the peace within. This is peace inside. You know, an illustration, and I've told this before, but it's a good illustration about the art contest. Remember that? About the art contest. They had an art contest, and they wanted artists to paint a picture of peace. Who can paint the picture that will show and demonstrate what peace is? And they had all these people that painted, you know, the serene, pastoral setting of farmland with haystacks and beautiful farmland. Others painted sunsets. Others painted a little cottage by a lake. This is peace. But the one that won the contest painted a tumultuous sea, a sea boiling up with storm by a storm. And in the middle, there's that rock, and the waves are crashing up against it, and the spray is spraying high into the air. And right in the middle, in a crag in the rock, is a little seagull sitting calmly on her nest. Folks, that's what biblical peace is all about. Biblical peace is not the absence of storms. If you're going to look for that, man, you got to go out of this world. Amen? Biblical peace is that calmness inside when you're in the midst of a storm. I know some of you have been going through some storms, and You've had peace. You've had peace. And that's what we're talking about. Jesus came to bring that peace. You know what? Jesus had that peace, didn't he? You remember when he was in the storm? You remember, we've even talked about this lately. He's in the boat and the storm, the sea is raging and the wind is howling and the boat's being tossed and turned and the waves are coming up and the boat's filling up. Where's Jesus? No. He's in the bow of the boat. He's asleep. Jesus, don't you? Oh, the disciples didn't have that peace, did they? Oh, don't you care? We're perishing. Get up, get up. And what, he stands up. Peace. Be still. Whew. Glass. He had it. And you know what? He told us he wants us to have it. He said, for instance, John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and don't be afraid. Or in John 16:33, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have, what class? Peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I give you peace. Do you ever struggle with that? Do you ever worry and get anxious? Or am I the only one here? How can we get this peace? I mean, it's available to us. How do you get it? How do you have that peace in that storm? I'll tell you, there's some keys to this. I want to share this with us. Because peace with God, once you have peace with God, you can't lose peace with God. You will have peace with God because Jesus finished that at the cross. But our experience of peace within, sometimes we don't have it. How can you get peace of God? Let me just give you some keys to this. First of all, confess any known sin in your life. Do you know sin in your life will rob you of peace? It's interesting in the Bible how the Bible, I want you to know, I saw this, how the Bible connects peace and righteousness. Did you ever see that in God's Word? You study that out. The Bible connects peace and righteousness. Like Romans 14, where it says, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, righteousness, peace. In Hebrews, it's called the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You see, righteousness, when we're right and we have no unconfessed sin in our life, we can have peace. But sin in our lives steals our peace. In fact, Isaiah says that in Isaiah 57, 21. Listen to this. There is no peace for the wicked, says my God. No peace for the wicked. I'll tell you what. Some of us lack peace because there's sin in our lives. It'll steal your peace away. Confess it. Get it out. Another thing that we need to do, get the Word of God in. And I love this verse, Psalm 119, 165. It says, you want great peace? Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. Some of you remember Pastor Lacey? Remember Pastor Lacey, who used to be here in our church? That was one of his favorite verses. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what? Some Christians, not in this church, some Christians are easily offended. You look at them wrong and they get offended. I mean, or if you walk by them and don't look at them, they get offended. Whatever. I'll tell you, some of those Christians are like that. I'll tell you what, if you are like that, you'll never have peace. Because you'll always be offended. Oh, he didn't smile at me. He didn't look at me. She didn't talk to me. Whatever. I'll tell you, if you're easily offended, you'll never have peace. But But I'll tell you what, you want to get peace? Get the Word of God inside. You get God's Word. In fact, Colossians says that. Let the peace of Christ dwell in you. And you know what the next verse says? Let the Word of Christ richly dwell in you. Get God's Word in. And I'll tell you what, it brings peace. What else do we need to know? Another thing, if you want peace, put your trust in the Lord. He's in control. He's in control. Isaiah 26:3. This is one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. You want perfect peace? Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. You want perfect peace? Trust God. Know that he's in control. I'm going to tell you, folks, again, when we look at the circumstances, when we watch the nightly news, and we forget God is in control, we lose our peace. So trust God. He's in control. He's in control of your situation. Amen? What else? Get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Get filled with the Spirit. Yield your heart to the Holy Spirit. Let him direct your life, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Let the Holy Spirit control your life. You know what the Bible, the world says about peace? They say you find peace in a bottle. Let's get some spirits. You know what the Bible says? Don't get drunk with wine, where in its excess, but get filled with the Spirit. As we're filled with the Spirit, then the Spirit of God can minister the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. What else? If you want peace, the peace of God, pray to God with thanksgiving. Everybody knows, I bet you most people at least here know, Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious about everything and pray about nothing. Isn't that it? Well, then why are we living like that's it? What does it say, class? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What we need to do, if we want peace, is we need to pray more. We need to pray. The hymn writer said, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And then, you know, if we want peace, we need Jesus as Lord in our life. Every aspect. You know where we lose our peace? Where we say, Jesus, you can be Lord in my life in these areas, but not this area. This area I'm going to control. That's when you lose peace. When we have Christ and we say, Lord, I'm here. I'm your servant. I'm here to serve you. The text says the government is on his shoulder. Is the government of your life on his shoulder? Because if it's on his shoulder and he's Lord of your life, someone has said this, and I think this is a good saying. Peace is the flag that flies over the castle of your life when the king is on the throne. Is he on the throne of your life? If we want peace, the Bible tells us how to do that. Confess our sins, get the Word of God inside, put your trust in him. He's in control. Get filled with the Spirit. Pray and be thankful and make Jesus Lord. He came. He's the Prince of Peace. He came to bring the peace of God to our lives. Thirdly, and I'll go quickly here, but thirdly, he came not only to bring peace with God, and peace within, the peace of God, but he came to bring peace with others. Now, there's a paradox here, because Jesus on one occasion said these words, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And that's true. Isn't that true? When you receive Jesus Christ, when you have Christ in your life, sometimes, I'll tell you what, people will reject you. There'll be division. Sometimes people that said they were your friends will turn their back on you. Sometimes family members can reject you when you follow the Lord. But on the other hand, Christ came to bring reconciliation with God, peace with God, but he also came to bring reconciliation between people. All kinds of different people. He came to bring reconciliation, came to bring peace in relationships. He came to reconcile a man with God, but he came to reconcile man with man. Listen to the words of Mark 9:50. Have salt in yourselves, said Jesus, and be at peace with one another. Paul states, listen to this, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And again, God wants us. Does God want us to be at peace in the church? Oh, yeah. He came that we would be at peace. Does God want us to have peace in our families? Yes, he does. I just want to ask the question today. Is there anyone in your life that you're not at peace with? Is there anyone that God would ask you today? He's the Prince of Peace. To reach out and try to bridge that gap. To be a peacemaker. Is there anyone that he would want you to write a letter to? I don't know. I didn't even plan to say this. Is there somebody he wants you to get on the phone and call? Is there somebody in the church he wants you to go to and say, you know what? I want to tell you I love you. And be a peacemaker. See, Jesus came that we could be reconciled with each other so that we could forgive. He's the Prince of Peace. And once this is right, this can be right. Somebody in your family? That he's calling you. Sar Shalom. Lord, make peace. There's one last one I want to mention. Jesus came to bring peace with God, peace within, the peace of God. He came to give us peace with each other. But this is neat. He came to bring peace for the future. For the future. And you know, a lot of times you think of the future. If you let your mind think of the future, boy, yeah, I'll tell you, I can lose my peace pretty fast. But I'll tell you what, Jesus came to bring peace for the future. He came to bring, first of all, peace among nations. Can you imagine that, what it's going to be like? When Jesus Christ comes again, the government of Emmanuel will procure and perpetuate peace among the nations of the world. Won't that be something? They won't have anything to report on the newscasts. I guess they'll just cancel it all. Our text goes on in Isaiah 9:6. Look at Isaiah 9:7. Isaiah 9:7 says, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of what? Peace. When Jesus comes back, he's going to bring peace. There will be no lasting peace on earth until Jesus Christ comes back. No lasting peace. until he's on the throne. Isaiah 2:4, listen to this. Isaiah 2:4 tells it like it is. He shall judge the nations and rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. No more war. No more armies. Won't there be something? And you know what else there's not going to be anymore? No more terrorist groups. There's a verse in Isaiah that tells us that. Isaiah 60, verse 18, is a wonderful verse. It says, violence. You'll not hear violence anymore. It'll be gone. You know what the word violence is in the Hebrew? Hamas. When Jesus comes back, Hamas is gone. Hezbollah is gone. Al-Qaeda is gone. All terrorists are gone. There's going to be just peace. Peace. But not only peace with nations. Listen to this. Jesus is going to come and bring peace with nature. In nature. When Jesus is on the throne, look, turn to Isaiah 11. You've got to see this. Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. I just can't wait for this to happen. I can't wait till he comes back. But Isaiah 11, 6 through 9, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. That's what Jesus is going to bring. Peace. When he's on the throne, we'll have peace between nations and we'll have peace in nature. What a day. The best is yet to come. When Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes, the words that the angels said over the plains of Bethlehem will come to fulfillment. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Goodwill to men. Wonderful. The answer to the dullness of life. Counselor. The answer to the decisions of life. Mighty God. The answer to the demands of life. Everlasting Father, the answer to the spiritual dimension of life. Shar Shalom, Prince of Peace, the answer to the difficulties of life. You can have peace. Do you have peace this morning? Is the Prince of Peace filling your life this morning? Let's bow in prayer.